It was the 1980s, the decade of Ronald Reagan and deregulation, of Cyndi Lauper and Michael Jackson, of extravagance and excess, where getting rich was on everyone's mind. New York had been in a long period of decline, and people were desperate to escape it. But for an immigrant kid from the Philippines, the city held an attraction that has never faded. It felt like a slap in the face, waking me up from years of torpor. Here, I single-mindedly pursued my ambitions, unfettered by prejudice or entanglements of any kind. I'd scaled the public relations ladder, jumping from one firm to the other, until I finally landed a job with Burson Marsteller at the age of 32, the Harvard of PR firms. It was a global behemoth, with annual revenues at one point of over $200 million and thousands of employees and offices around the world. In those days, big American companies were being taken over by people we'd never heard of through leveraged buyouts, commonly called LBOs. Footnote: a leveraged buyout, or LBO, is a financial transaction to acquire a company which takes on a considerable amount of debt and often uses the assets of that company as collateral for the debt. End of footnote. LBOs made use of other people's money, money that was borrowed to acquire a corporation by using the assets of that same corporation as collateral for the loans. It was like someone using the rope that you made and sold to hang you. Many of these LBOs were backed by one investment bank that the rest of Wall Street despised: Drexel Burnham Lambert. Just hearing their name struck fear in the hearts of every executive in corporate America. And the revolution was led by one man, Michael Milken. At Burson, I joined the mergers and acquisitions PR team, where we devised strategies to place positive stories, spread negative news, hold employee rallies, take out full-page ads, and use all kinds of publicity to benefit our clients' causes. We were either on offense or defense. It didn't matter to us, as long as we got paid. These were knockdown, take-no-prisoners affairs, and only one side would get to keep their jobs at the end. Corporate executives who were under siege realized that what was at stake were not just their company-paid country club memberships, their kids' private school educations, and their heavily mortgaged mansions, but also their very sense of who they were, their place in society. If they lost these takeover battles, all that would be gone. One summer day in July 1987, I was sitting in my windowless, sparsely decorated cubicle in the Burson office on East 19th Street and Park Avenue South, pretending to work hard, when the phone rang. A woman was on the line, and she said her name was Loida Lewis.